Genesis chapter 3. What great music this morning. Man, wonderful music. Miss Ann reminded me that her mother, and as she started singing it, I remembered that song. And man, that is such great words to that song. And I was thinking to myself, if I didn't call on Jesus during a week, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I'd do. And I hope it's the same for you. I have to have him in my life every day, every day. Genesis chapter 3, we'll read verse 15 this morning. It says this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we come again another Sunday, Lord, and Lord, the thought has crossed my mind, Lord. Lord, what about if I wasn't here today? Lord God, what about if I wasn't here to have the Holy Spirit within me encouraged? Lord God, if I wasn't here to hear the singing and the praise and the worship to you? Lord God, I thank you that you've allowed me to be here this morning. I thank you even more so, Lord, that you've allowed us all to come here together. Lord God, as we look out, Lord, on this congregation, Lord, and so many things, Lord God, so many prayer requests, so many requests, Lord, to you, Lord, that, Lord, we don't have the answers for, but Lord God, we know who does. And God, we come here humbly come before you, Lord God, and we come on a Sunday morning, we praise and worship you and do, God, what you want us to do, Lord God, to glorify you. God, we so thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, where would we be, Lord, if we are those that are saved, where would we be without Jesus this morning? Lord God, I try not to be too hard on those that, Lord, maybe you haven't heard, Lord, maybe they haven't been given the home, Lord, that I was given. Lord God, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Lord, nothing else. All of the things of this world are going to fade away. But Lord God, you will remain. And you are holy, and we so thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord God, this morning that has not accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord God, that there's nothing, this is where it starts and ends, Lord God, as we even think about Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. It starts and ends with God and with Jesus, his Son, who died for us. God, this morning, I pray someone walk an aisle. Lord God, I pray someone get their life right. God, I pray that you be with us this morning. Lord, we're looking forward. Lord, we're so encouraged by these messages. God, we pray that you move again among these people today. Move in our hearts. And God, thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And as he mentioned, man, thank you for the music this morning. Great congregational singing. And, of course, our choir always does an outstanding job. And then Miss Ann on the special, and Mrs. Hayes with the offertory, so thank you for all that. And man, a busy week this week, a lot going on. And as yesterday, man, appreciate our those that helped out with our young people. They had activity yesterday, and of course, Brother Dave and Miss Jesse heading that up, but then also had some other adults I know that were helping out with that. Thank you for that, for jumping in, because I know there's a lot going on, and appreciate that, helping our young people. Who was on the winning team? Who was the winners here? We're working that out. All right. So we'll see what happens. All right. We'll stay tuned. I'll try to give you an update there on that. All right. So, man, but anyway, great time yesterday for our young people. I appreciate them doing that. And then, man, good to have my mother-in-law and sister-in-law in here. And they texted me last night and said they're going to surprise my wife. Not by being in church. They're usually in church. So they're usually in church in North Carolina. And not in here, all right? So great to have them in here with us this morning, and as well as the rest of y'all. Well, Genesis chapter 3, and we've been going through the book of Genesis, started in chapter 1 with creation a few weeks ago as we started the new year. And now we're here in chapter 3, and we spent a couple weeks in here. I think we're going to finish this up today, but this talks about the fall of man. It reminds me when we were growing up, all right, and back way back in the 70s when I was growing up, be honest with you, when I got to be a teenager, a little bit older teenager, then we get, I remember Dad and Mom got rid of the TV entirely, but when I was younger, we had television, but, and I think at some point we had a color television, but we didn't need it because every show we were allowed to watch was black and white, all right? So that's all we could watch was black and white. And so those who we watched, I remember, and I don't like to use a lot of television illustrations in there, but this came to mind, the Andy Griffith Show. And some of y'all, Carson, grew up seeing every episode of it, all right, over and over and over again. But there's an episode where the preacher's preaching and they're in church, and as he's preaching a message about patience and don't be in a rush and all that stuff, of course, he's got some of his kin here. He's sleeping, all right, throughout the service. I see some of y'all doing that as I get to start preaching here in a minute. But anyway, wakes up at the end of the service, they go outside and they're talking to the preacher and they're all commenting on what a great service it was, and they get to him and Barney says, "Oh, great service." Says, just what we need, more preaching on sin. All right, and they're all looking, "What are you talking about?" So here's another message this morning on sin, all right? We need another message on sin this morning. Genesis chapter 3, we read verse 15, but I want to back up a little bit where we left off last week. So go back to verse number 8. And we talked about last week what happened. Eve is tempted, and Eve gives in to that temptation. Adam's there with her, and Adam and Eve sin. And in fact, let's go back one more. Let's go back to verse number 7. It says, "The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?'" You think about this with Adam and Eve. As we talked about last week, we do not know how long it was from the day they were created until this happens here in Genesis chapter 3. We know they lived in a perfect environment. They had every opportunity to do right. God said here, every tree you can eat of except for one. He gave man a choice. A man wasn't just a robot. He had a free will. Same thing is true for us today. We can choose what we want to do. And so God gave Adam and Eve a choice. And of course, as we read and talked about last week, through the temptation that comes through Satan, Eve and Adam choose to sin against God. Just a reminder this week, you know what sin is? It's anything we do in disobedience to God. When we disobey God, that's sin, that's sin against God. And as we talked about last week, God doesn't treat sin lightly. I want to talk about this morning what happens when we sin. And so as we start with Adam and Eve and their example, look at, first of all, the response to sin. This is what we still do today. And I do it, you do it, we do it. We have to make sure we learn from what the Bible says, the response to sin. Look what they do when they sin. The first thing they do, verse number 7, "The eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." The first thing that Adam and Eve do, they try to cover their sin. You know what sin brings about? Sin brings about shame. It brings about guilt. Now, as we get more and more hardened to sin, what happens? That shame and guilt becomes less and less. But when we sin against God, especially if we're saved and we have a relationship with God, this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, even though God created you, there's no relationship there until you accept what He's done for you. But if you've been saved this morning, you've trusted Jesus Christ, then you have a relationship with God. So when you sin against God, it hurts that relationship. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it also brings about that shame and guilt. And so you see what Adam and Eve here, and it wasn't, when we talk about trying to hide their sin, we'll talk about that in a minute, but in covering here, it wasn't necessarily to cover the fact they sinned, but they realized that there was something wrong that wasn't there before, right? That innocency was gone. For the first time, they felt that guilt. They never felt guilt before. For the first time, they felt that shame. And I remember Dad preaching so many times, hey, if you can think about what it feels like after you sin, and think about that before you do it, man, it'll keep you from trouble. And so Adam and Eve, and what they do was what man has always tried to do ever since Adam and Eve. They try to come up with their own solution to sin. So sin is there. They realize that they've done something wrong. They realize they haven't, that guilt's there. So they're trying to, okay, how can we best take care of this? And the best thing they can come up with is to sew some fig leaves together and try to cover themselves. Hey, any of man's attempts to take care of a sin are always going to come short. Always. this morning you can't take care of your sin. Adam and Eve tried. And their response, hey, let's take care. That, you know what? That's what religion's all about, is let's do some good works and take care of our sin. Hey, it never works. It never does. Hey, religion throughout the world. Hey, here's what you do. You do enough good things and maybe that'll take care of your sin. No, there is none righteous. No, not one. My righteousness is not enough. There's nothing there to take care of my sin. And Adam and Eve, they try, hey, we're going to try to take care of it ourselves. We're not going to tell God. We're going to try to take care of it. They'll cover what they could see in themselves. They knew it wasn't right. And so they tried to cover their sin. Then secondly, look at verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hear God. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They tried to cover their sin first, and secondly, they tried to hide from the presence of God. They heard his voice. They heard the voice of God. Hold your place there. You know a familiar passage. But go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. David, as he talks to God, realizes hundreds and hundreds of years later what Adam and Eve found out in the garden. Psalms 139 and verse number 7. Psalms 139 verse 7. David says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Hey, there is nowhere we can go to get away from the presence of God. And by the way, that should be a comfort to us, right? Lo, I am with you always, even to the world. No matter where I go, I can call on the name of Jesus, we heard sung today, and he'll be there. But also understand this. When we go away from God and we sin against God, there is nowhere we can go. And Adam and Eve are trying to hide from the presence of God. They're trying to get away from God. And notice what they did here in verse number 8. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord where? Amongst the trees of the garden. So those trees that God had put there for them to eat of, they're sort of trying to get under under the leaves, just trying to find somewhere. You know, when we are not right with God, when we sin against God, we're trying to stay away from his presence. Go to John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 3. Probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, John chapter 3. In verse number 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, all we need, even in the gospel, is right there in that verse. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent Jesus to save the world. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world. Jesus brought light, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, when we're right with God, we have no trouble coming to the light. But like Adam and Eve, when we've sinned against God, we're looking for somewhere to hide. We don't want God to see what we've done. Hey, this morning, let me just tell you, no matter what you've done, God knows it. He already knows it. No matter how good or how bad, God knows exactly what you've done. And so Adam and Eve, their response to sin is the same as our response to sin. Many times they tried to cover it. They tried to hide from the presence of God. And then back to Genesis chapter 3. They try to shift the responsibility for that sin. Look at verse number 11. God says, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldst not eat? Have you eaten and done what I've told you not to do? Verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. So Adam starts it. He says, hey, it wasn't me. And Adam goes beyond just saying it was Eve. He says, God, it's your fault. Hey, God, you gave her to me. I was fine here by myself. We'll talk about it in a minute. It wasn't too long ago he was praising God for Eve. Now, hey, I was good by myself. If you hadn't sent her along, maybe I wouldn't have done wrong, right? Now, all of a sudden, things have changed. He's looking for someone else to blame for a sin. Hey, what about us? When we sin against God, what are we looking for? Well, it's not really my fault. Hey, do we not live in a world today that's looking to shift the blame for what they've done to someone else? Hey, we got a group, a generation of children that's growing up and being taught, hey, it's not your fault. No, no, no. Hey, take responsibility for what we've done. And Adam and Eve, this is as old as time, right? Adam looking at Eve and at God and saying, hey, it's not my fault. Look at Eve. Verse number 13, Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou said? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She points over the serpent. Hey, he tricked me. It wasn't my fault. Hey, both Adam and Eve said, yeah, we did it, but it wasn't our responsibility. Let me tell you this morning, sin is your responsibility. No one else's. The Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Hey, it's our responsibility. It's not your wives, it's not your husbands, not your children, not your parents, not your friends, not your neighbors. It is your responsibility. Their response to sin was they tried to cover it. They tried to hide from the presence of God. They tried to shift the responsibility. And that leads us right into the effects of sin. And this is still true today. The first thing is this. Look in verse number 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God is there. God wants to have fellowship with them. And what happens to Adam and Eve? They go and hide from God. Number one this morning, sin affects your relationship with God. Always. What did David say in Psalm 51 verse 4? He says, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. All sins against God. Sin is what hurts our relationship with God. You know why my relationship with God is not perfect this morning? It's not because of God, it's because of me. And so if I'm going to have a right relationship with God, I've got to make sure I get that sin right. That sin affects our relationship. We cannot sin and that not affect our relationship with God. God is walking there in the garden. He's waiting for Adam and Eve. And God has to say, where art thou? Verse number 9. Hey, where are you? God's not asking this because he doesn't know where Adam is. He knows what's going on. Verse number 11, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Have you done what I told you not to do? Hey, sin affects our relationship with God. Secondly, sin affects our relationship with each other. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. For some of you, might be on the same page, but verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Hey, God in verse 22 took that rib and made a woman out of man, brought her unto the man. Verse 23, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He can't get over the fact that God gave him this woman, as we just talked about in verse 12, in just 14 verses, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Guess what? It affects his relationship with his wife. They have a perfect husband-wife relationship. The only one ever, right? The only perfect husband-wife relationship ever. We don't know how long it lasted, but Adam and Eve had a perfect, they were one flesh together, perfect relationship. And what happens? Sin hurts your relationship with others as well. Hey, you know the problem in your marriage this morning is sin. You know the problem in your children this morning is sin. Hey, the problem in your relationship with anyone, it's sin. That's the problem there. The problem in our world today is a sin problem. And so if we're going to make sure those relationships are right, then we've got to get ourselves right with God. Sin affects your relationship with other people. It affects your relationship with God. And then sin always, always affects our future. Look a little bit ahead. In fact, go to verse number 24. First part of verse 24, Genesis chapter 3. So he drove out the man. You know, Adam and Eve had to leave that paradise. They had to leave all that God had put in place for them. Why? Because of one reason, because of sin. Hey, sin's always going to affect your future. It always takes you further than you want to go. And Dad would say this many times, you can choose to sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of that sin. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that sin affected their future. If we're going to be right this morning with God, we cannot be perfect because we have that sin nature that's passed down from Adam. We understand that. But the way to help us make right decisions is to look beyond today and look into the future and realize what we do today is going to affect what happens later on. And so sin always affects our future. And so we see the response to sin. We see the effect of sin. Now look at the consequences of sin. This is something you've heard many times before. I won't take a lot of time with this because you know this, but go to verse number 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of life. Sin cannot go unpunished. And so the first curse becomes on the serpent there. And again, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what we imagine from this passage, that more than likely they didn't. These serpents, these snakes didn't crawl on their bellies, because now that's something they do have to do. But dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So he starts there. Then go to verse number 16. The curse on the woman. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The reason there's pain and sorrow and childbearing is because of the sin. And the sin here of Eve. And that causes consequences not only for Eve, but then all those that would come after Eve. And so we see that because of sin, there's consequences that are there. Not only that, in verse number, as we continue in the same verse, in verse number 16, in sorrow shall they bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God had made woman to help man. And so God had created her for that purpose. And now it says, it's not only just he shall rule over thee. We see that, by the way, you see that in areas that don't have the Word of God. And you see the degrading way that women are treated. Hey, here's what should happen. As Christians, as following the Word of God, that woman should be elevated, right? That woman should be elevated. Hey, why? I'll hear this. Man, we want women to be just like men. Why would you want to be like men? And why bring yourself down to that level? No, God put that woman there as a help meet for Adam. And now because of sin, then the Bible says there that he shall rule over thee. Look at the curse for Adam. In verse number 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Adam didn't take charge like you're supposed to, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So for Adam, the ground will be cursed. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat there over the field. It doesn't mean that Adam didn't do any work before sin. It does mean there's going to be a lot more difficult. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. He says, hey, the ground's going to be cursed. It's going to be more difficult for you. And then look at this, verse 19. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You know what that tells us? That tells us Satan is a liar. Because Satan says you won't die. God says you're returning to dust. Hey, no longer will you live forever. No longer, Adam, will you continue on and on and on. No, there's going to be a time, and there's been a time from Adam all the way to us, for all of us, when we no longer can draw breath here on earth. Now, thank God if we're saved, we have a place to go to for eternity. But we're going to return to that dust that we were created out of. And so the serpent, the woman, the man, all bear the consequences of sin. You know, if we finish the message there, some of y'all will be excited, right? You say we're out a little early. But a little discouraging if we just stop there, because we have sin that's taken place here. And we have the response of Adam and Eve, not a great response. We have the effects, we have the consequences. But I want you to know something this morning. The story doesn't stop there. The Bible says there's a restoration from sin. Look at verse 20. Adam has just been told that he's going to return to dust, that he's going to die. He's just been told the ground's going to be cursed. It's going to be difficult for him to produce anything. He's just been told that his wife is going to have sorrow and conception and birth and all that. That's going to be difficult for her. He's heard all these consequences of sin, and that he thought, hey, he hadn't. Who knows how much he had even thought about it, but now, no longer living forever, can return to the dust. And yet, we start here, look at the faith of Adam in verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Up till this time, we had woman, but we don't have the name Eve. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all what? Not all dead, no, all living. You know why? Because Adam believed what God said. And we'll go back to verse number 15 in just a second where we started. But Adam believed the truth of God's word. And even though Adam had sinned, the same is true for us. We've sinned before God. Well, there's a way to take care of that sin, and it's called faith in what God said. And Adam here has faith. He doesn't name Eve the mother of those that are all going to die. He doesn't name Eve the one who led me into sin. No. He names her the mother of all living. And Adam believes, he has faith in what God said. And then look what else happens here in verse number 21. Unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and what? And clothe them. You know what God did? As he saw man's futile attempt to try to cover himself, God said, no, let me take care of that. I will cover your sins. I'll cover it. And this clothing is a picture. Is a picture of what God's going to do one day through Jesus Christ. And as you notice here, it's not fig leaves put together. No, it's animals that are slain. It's what? It's blood that is shed. It's blood that's shed. And so these animals are sacrificed. This blood is a picture of the sacrifice that's going to one day come from the Lamb of God. And that blood is shed, and this covering is given to Adam and Eve. By the way, notice what happens here. We go from man came up with aprons, God came up with coats. God always covers more than man does. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. When we go around uncovering the body, that's going against the picture that God put here, that he clothed man to cover his sin. That's why nakedness is wrong, because number one, that's what the Bible tells us. We're not supposed to be naked. But that nakedness is wrong because it goes against what God set up here in the Garden of Eden. Hey, no, I'm going to clothe man. And ever since then, I remember Dad, I've heard him say it so many times, God clothed man, and then man's been trying to take off his clothes ever since then. God clothed man. That's a picture of what God did. It's a picture of what God was going to do. And God puts a coat on them, and that coat's not just any coat. No, it's the blood that's shed. And so we have a faith in God. We have a picture covered by God and then also protected by God. Look at this in verse number 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is to come as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. I was just talking with Brother Jason about this last week. You know, Adam and Eve apparently, after they had sinned and not eaten of the tree of life, I don't know about before they sinned. He said, well, why didn't, you know, and I'll tell the young people this, right? In our minds, because we're sinners, then we think, hey, let's just go eat of the tree of life first so we can just live forever, right? And you know, why didn't they do that? Well, in their minds, they weren't thinking of sinning, right? They were perfect. So why would they worry? They were going to live forever anyway. So why were they worried about that when they had never even sinned? But now that they've sinned, now it's interesting, I read this, and I don't know if this is true or not, but as God's looking at them and they've sinned, if they were to eat the tree of life now, they would live forever in that sinful condition. And God, having mercy on them, say, I've got to get them out of here. Ever get them out of here? I don't want them to be in that sinful condition forever. Why? Because he had a plan that was much greater than that. It's not just about living forever. Hey, let me tell you this morning, every soul is going to spend an eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. So it's not just about spending eternity somewhere. It's about more than that. And so, look back at verse number 15 where we started. In the midst of this, God moves from the serpent to Satan. Satan is the one that has started this. He's the one that tempted Eve. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Hey, there's going to be enmity, at enmity. That means we think of the word enemy that comes from some of that same thing, but just putting a divide there between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. In the end of the verse, thou shalt bruise his heel. What is that? The first promise from God of what's coming. Satan was going to have an opportunity, and he would take that opportunity on that Sunday, on that week before the Passover, when they brought Jesus there, and Jesus was crucified on the cross. And Satan thought he'd won. Hey, Satan knew, we talked about this at Christmas time, Satan had Herod ready to kill Jesus when he was 2 years old. Satan knew it was coming. He knew this was the Christ child. He knew this was the Messiah. Even though the Jews didn't believe it, Satan knew it. And so when Satan's able to use those Jewish people to crucify Christ, Satan thinks he has the victory. But what happens 3 days later? Verse 15, it shall bruise thy head. Jesus dealt the deadly blow to Satan. And you know what? Satan no longer can have the victory. No, the victory comes through Jesus Christ. It's a promise that God gave in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. There's going to come through Eve, the mother of all living. There's going to come a seed. There's going to come through her one that will take the sin of the world on him for us. Hey, we preach about sin, and I'm preaching about sin again this morning. But you know what's different? I heard a preacher preaching about this week. He mentioned this illustration. He was talking about a doctor in the early 70s, when Roe versus Wade was decided, and abortion, which is murder, right, of children, was legalized in the United States. And this doctor, when it was legalized, he was the head of an abortion clinic. They wouldn't call that back then. But he basically oversaw thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children killed. But about that time, in the mid-70s, they began to come up with more and more technology. And, of course, now it's standard for everybody to have an ultrasound, right? And those ultrasounds will show those babies in the womb. Y'all have heard the story before. One of ours was born at 27 weeks old and ready to go, all right? And remember when we had him in the NICU, that they said they'd had as early as 22, 23 weeks. They were born and survived. And probably even earlier than that, there's just in that one NICU that we were in. But that ultrasound began to show, hey, that from the time of conception, that there's a life there. There's a life there. And so as this doctor saw that and the technology sort of caught up, man, he said, I can't continue doing what I'm doing. And so he came out of what he was doing and began to change over to pro-life. And began to go around speaking against the abortion crowd. It's interesting, though, and the pastor was telling the story about this doctor and said near the end of his life, he eventually trusted Jesus Christ and became a Christian. And he said the reason he became a Christian, he said there's one thing about Christianity that nobody else has, forgiveness. Hey, you know what God offers through Jesus Christ that nobody else can offer? Forgiveness. Hey, all of us are sinners. You know what that means all of us need? We all need forgiveness. Man, if we just ended with sin and what happened with Adam and Eve here, man, but you know what? God gave them a promise in verse 15. He says, hey, there's coming one someday that's going to die on the cross for your sins so that you can be forgiven of your sins. Adam and Eve didn't have to walk out of the Garden of Eden not right with God. No, they could get right with God and be forgiven of their sins. This morning, you don't have to walk out of this building not being right with God. You don't have to walk out of this building on your way to hell. You can be forgiven of your sins and have that right relationship with God because of what He's done for you. Hey, sin's always going to be there while we're here on earth. But as you know, what does the Bible say? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's forgiveness. So this morning, you know what? You can get on your knees. You can get an altar. You can be at your pew there and you can ask forgiveness for your sin. Hey, if you never trusted Christ as Savior, you need your sins forgiven for salvation. If you're saved on your way to heaven this morning, you know what you need this morning? Forgiveness for your sins this week. Why? To get that relationship back right with God. Hey, to get right with Him again. We need more messages on sin. You know why? To get us to the point where we realize that we need forgiveness of our sins. That's what you need this morning. Father, I pray that you'd help every person that's here to realize, first of all, they're a sinner. Lord, I don't know the spiritual condition of every person. I don't know their heart, Lord, you do. But I pray that every single person here would realize this morning they're a sinner. There's many in this crowd, could be the majority, could be most everybody, I don't know, that not only has realized that they're a sinner, but has asked forgiveness for that sin, has trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I thank you for that. But I pray if there's someone here this morning that has never done that, Lord, help them to realize this morning they're a sinner. Lord, that sin, as we talked about last week, that sin, there's consequences there, Lord. It's not something you just laugh off, or it's not that important. No. That's disobedience against an almighty God. So that sin means we spend an eternity in hell. Lord, it's not popular to talk about today, but it's still truth from the Bible. So I pray if there's someone here this morning, Lord, that has never trusted you as their Savior, they're trying to cover their sins or come up with ways that their sins can get taken care of, and not realizing there's only one way. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So help them to realize the only way to forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning there's someone here not saved. They've never taken the time to trust you for their forgiveness of their sins. Today be their day. Lord, and they realize they need to be saved. Not just to say that, no, saved from their sin. Saved from their sin and the penalty of sin. Lord, and those that are saved this morning, Lord, help us to seek forgiveness. Lord, just because we're saved doesn't mean we always do things right. And in fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we can think about things this month, this week, maybe even today, that we need to get right with you. I pray this morning, this altar, these pews would be a time of getting our heart right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around this morning, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? We talked about sin this morning, the forgiveness that comes. Has there been a time where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, where you prayed and asked God to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and to save your soul? If you could say that this morning, if you just slip your hand up, I'm going to say, I know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, you can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say this. You say, I've never trusted Christ, or I'm not sure about my salvation. Maybe you don't even know, I'm not real sure what you're even talking about. But you say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done some things that are wrong. And I need prayer this morning. Here you say, I've never trusted Christ. I'm not saved. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Listen, I won't embarrass you at all. I promise you that. But if that's you this morning, you say, I'm just not sure about my salvation, and you just say, pray for me. If you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, I won't embarrass you, I won't call on you or anything like that. Say, I'm not sure about my salvation. And if you're not sure you're saved, take care of that today. We'll take the Word of God. It's not what I say. It's what the Word of God says. Take the Word of God to show you what the Bible says, how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Hey, this morning, if you're saved, man, is there some sin you need to get right with God? Ask forgiveness for. Not somebody else. No, your sin. Your sin. This morning. As the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Thank you. great to have you here this morning. Thanks for being here with us. Be back tonight if you can, 6 o'clock. And then, of course, you got Wednesday night service. And if I don't see you again next Sunday morning, have a great week this week. Man, enjoy this time of year. Wonderful time of year. So enjoy that. And I'll get Mr. Myers. By the way, thank you for, I mentioned it's been a couple weeks. I was making sure everything stayed together. Well, those chairs up there, he got those put together for us. So thank you for that. If you haven't been out from the balcony, don't go up there, all right, and take those chairs. But, man, they're a little more comfortable with them up there. So, man, thank you for doing that. Appreciate y'all being here this morning. Mr. Myers, let's close in prayer, if you would. Yeah.